Welcome back, everyone. We'll have Carl doing his presentation on Power Toys now. And Carl, thanks for showing up at this event, and thanks for dyeing your hair red. For those of you online, it's bright burning red here. So, Carl, it's all yours. Thanks.
Okay, so let's all take our seats. We got 1 hour left to go, our 45-minute presentation, then we got our Q&A period. I know I've done a lot of presentations, and towards the end of the day, that's when everybody loses focus. So I'm not going to let you fall asleep or lose focus in this presentation. And I don't want to have to compete with anybody who's talking. All right, so this presentation, our guy's helping me out here. Oh, thank you so much. This is awesome. So this presentation is on Zammo Power Toys. And so here's my question. You know, pick this up. I'm going to move this back, and I'll just turn it like this. Set that back down on level ground. Perfect. So who here has actually used Zammo Power Toys before? We got a couple of people. Yay, right? All right, so this the presentation I'm going to teach you now is on a new version that I just wrote over the last 5 days. I completely rewrote whole sections of the code, and I added a lot of new features, including making forms for RIA services, just like you saw where Brad was giving his presentation. Now you're going to be able to use drag and drop to create those forms. So some of the stuff he showed you, some were being auto-generated, other ones where they were just kind of dragging in XAML, so you have to sit there and type it. It takes a long time to sit there and type that. XAML Power says, I'll show you how to do that. And it does a lot more than just create forms. This has been written, I don't know, it's over a year and a half. I got over 100,000 downloads. So there's a lot of people in the WPF and Silverlight space that use XAML Power Toys. All right, that's my only slide. Let me get rid of this. Okay. Internet Explorer, go to my blog. Okay, this is my blog. It's carlshiflett.wordpress.com. And over here, you can see these are all the different things that I've written. One of them is XAML Power Toys. Another one's Mole. You can click on here and learn about it. If you come here, the new version, the version I'm about to show you, is going to be available on my blog on Sunday at 7. Because I have to go make all the videos and the training materials. It takes a long time to do all this stuff. And so the version 4 is here. You can download. If you've never used XAML Power Toys, don't go get version 4. Version 5 has just a much better experience with the install. I've taken feedback from everyone for the last year. I put every single request into the new XAML Power Toys. So as you're sitting here watching today and you're thinking over the next few days, if you've got requests, make sure you go to my blog, sign in, leave them on my blog, and I will add them to the product. No problem. All right? And it's free. It's like everything else on the internet. It doesn't cost anything. So hopefully you'll like that. All right, so let me get out of full screen mode here. Close down this because I don't need that anymore. Oh, I work for Microsoft. Oh, okay, by the way, sorry. My name's Carl. I work for Microsoft. I actually work on the CIDR team. My team develops the WPF and Silverlight designer and the XAML editor that's inside Visual Studio. So I've been working with my team. In fact, I just turned a year here at Microsoft, a year and 1 month working here. I was a Microsoft MVP. I'm a Code Project MVP, and they hired me last year to come and work on their team, and I'm really happy. I love working there. All right, so let me just give you like a quick, oh, wow, look at this. This is so small. At home, I have 6,000 pixel wide, you know, real estate to work on, a 30-inch monitor and flanked by 224s, and now I'm looking at this thing. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so, yeah. It's been a while since I did a presentation. Here we go. So I'll try to work in Visual Studio. I'll try to work in this full screen mode. It makes it easy to see stuff. So XAML Power Toys, where did this come from? It came from when I was writing lots of LOB apps before I joined Microsoft. And I'm always, you know, and I like XAML. I love typing XAML. I'm a web guy. That's my actual technology that I know the best. But now in 2007 in April, I transitioned over from the web to WPF. I had just gotten through my cancer treatment. I had stage 4 cancer. Somehow I survived by all the people that are praying for me. And so I was in remission. And I'm thinking, yeah, what do they got out there? So I started looking around the web, and they were telling me about this WPF thing. This is back in April of 2007. And so I was like, yeah, this is pretty cool. And so I started to learn it and become I fell in love with it 5 minutes after I started using it. But then as you start looking at it, so let's take a look at a little form here. You start looking at the amount of code you have to sit there and type. This is a lot of code to type. If you're sitting there typing all this code by yourself, this is a lot of stuff. As a developer, we want to spend our time learning all the great new technologies, thinking about our application. Like, what is the what features do we need? What business logic do we need? What's going to separate me from the next guy so I can go and sell my product, right? Or what features can I support? How can I write code that's better so it doesn't have as many, you know, bugs in it and you actually ship something that's broke? You know, God forbid that I know nobody does that. So in doing this, I'm always thinking about how to make application maintenance easy, simple, and bug-free, if we can. So the last thing that all of us developers want to do is sit there and have to type a form when we already have all the information in our classes already, that we've already typed our data classes. We've already got the information required to make a form. Why should we have to type it, right? So I went and wrote all these tools. Now, I'm going to show you this application right here. This will be on my blog soon, too. So this is the barbecue shack. By the way, shucks. I wonder why this, it doesn't look so nice. What the heck's up with this? Huh, this is kind of funny. It's off. Huh, that's just totally unacceptable. No, it looks awful. Like what happened to my program? This is like not supposed to do this. I'm really embarrassed. I'm up here on this screen. This looks terrible. And I can't even show you the app because, all right, so let's try this. How do I do this thing here? Properties. I want to get to the properties of this thing. There we go. How do you turn off this auto hide? And I was like, all I want to do is turn off auto hide. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. And okay, there we go. Properties. All right, there we go. Auto hide. Please work. Okay. It just wants to get me, you know? Oh, this is on substandard. Hold on one second. All the other presenters had problems. I don't mind. You know, I'm not embarrassed. Trust me. Yeah. So let me go down here to personalize. And check out what my display is right now, because this is just dreadful. Oh, well, that's what I'm supposed to have. Oh, thank you. Okay, let's go close all the apps. This is great. I love it, man. Hey, yeah, I want to stop debugging. This is going to be really unhappy. Visual Studio's restarting. I'm blowing up. We're out of here. Yeah, like why would it make the fonts big on a really small display? Like who's in charge? Yeah, it's like I gotta talk to somebody about this. All right, here we go. Okay, next time you log in. All right, that's fine. If you're gonna make me log off, all right, next problem. Why should you have to log off? I guess you're switching all your font systems. Okay, here we go. Sorry about that. I should have at least tried it in 1024 because I know it works because the screen size is 1024. Nobody looking, I'm hoping. They're not watching my fingers move on the out there in television land. Okay. By the way, I've been to this place here twice since I've been at Microsoft. I took two cruises. That's where I wrote all this code that you're going to hear about in a few minutes. And I'm serious. I actually went and wrote all this code when I was on a cruise. I've been on two cruises to write code. There is nothing like getting on a ship and then everything's taken care of. They take care of all your stuff. You have your nice suite. You open up the windows, the doors, and the air's coming in. You can see the whales outside. It's incredible. I love it. So much fun. Okay. Yeah, I did it twice. My team thinks I'm insane. That's okay. I love them. All right, so let's get Barbecue Shack opened up now that we have the right font size and we're all praying it's going to work. Okay, so what we have is this little simple application. I drew this in Blend, actually. This is all XAML, by the way. So what Barbecue Shack is, there's a place down the street where I lived in North Carolina called the Barbecue Shack. And this little place in North Carolina that has a little parking lot supplied all the barbecue for the Super Bowl in 2008. They did all the barbecue there. So what I did is I created this little application. And what this is a complete touchscreen app. If Adam or Tim was here, we could have just run this there. And what it allows to do, this is a cashier. So if like somebody comes in and say, I want to order ribs and I want a half a rack of ribs and give me a Coke, blah, blah, some baked beans. And then you press this and they check out and they're gone. So this is like a little application that allows you to do things like, oh, give me a half a rack of ribs and two of those and it adds it to it, right? So you can see it, very simple how to actually write a little POS application, total touchscreen, no keyboard involved, right? Really simple. All right, we come over here, we can look at the inventory stuff that's available. So here's a, like a whole little screen, and this will all be available on my blog soon. I just haven't had enough time to write the documentation. All right, so here's a little screen where you can look at your items. And what I want you to do is observe down here in inventory. So when I click right here, I'll click on one of these. Notice a little one came up, right? Now I'm going to click back, and I'll go pick up another one. Now I got a two there. I come over here. And I'll go do unit of measure. And I'm barely touching what this application can do. So the idea is here, so watch this. You can right click and you can go back to where you were. So that's kind of cool, right? And then you come over here and see where it says two. You got two of those opened up. You can click on there and you can go and edit it and does a whole bunch of stuff. Now, why did I show you all that? Well, because that's a whole navigation system I wrote. And this will all be in Silverlight soon. So you'll be able to actually have that same thing. Now, what Brad was showing you earlier, which was the navigation application. So, and there's a reason for me showing you all this stuff here. This application is a full end-to-end LOB app set as startup project. And I'll press F5. So you can see here's all my Ocean Framework libraries and my barbecue shack. And then I've got my web and my web version along with the WPF version. All right, so it's uploading the application. I'll go F11, so that's your full screen key in Silverlight, in case you don't know. So what this is a web app. Actually, I got to take it out of F11 so you can see the URLs, otherwise you won't be able to see them. So this is a navigation application written the same way that Brad was telling you before. So if you're on the web, the idea of this was I wanted somebody to be able to come here and order their order in 10 seconds or less. So you click on here, you pick what you want, press button, click your credit card, and then, of course, you would go to a checkout screen and it would order it for you. So this right here, all that XAML that I typed here is almost the same as what I had in there. So I was able to share between Silverlight and WPF. All right? So what I want you to do is watch the URL. See, it says menu now, and here's where it says meals. So I can actually come over here, and I'll add this to my favorites, add to favorites, click Barbecue Shack. Now what I can do is I can open up another browser, open up another window, go over here to my favorites. So now what I'm really doing here is I want to order lunch. See, I'm simulating ordering lunch. It goes out there and takes me right to my lunch page. And by the way, this is all flick to go back. So you can see there's that little thing, but you can actually hold your mouse down and just drag and move. So if you had a finger with touchscreen, this application is completely touchscreen also. All right. So this is not a little story about XAML Power Toys. Obviously, we're supposed to be talking about XAML Power Toys. But the reason I wanted to show you this was because I didn't have to create any of these forms by hand. All right. Now we're getting down to why we're talking about this. So we look at the full screen. You look at all these forms. You saw those data forms. They got all this kind of stuff here where you have to go and you have to put all your rows and columns in and lay everything out. I didn't type any of this code. It was generated by XAML Power Toys for me from my data model. All right? So let's talk about that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and close this up because we really don't need this anymore. And I'm going to go to a lot more simpler applications that have less to look at, so it makes XAML Power Toys easier to understand. Okay, so come over here, and I'm going to go ahead and just start up this RIA application that I downloaded. And this application, we'll just F5 it. And this is kind of similar to what Brad just showed you. There's a web piece, that's a server piece, and you've got a client piece that shows a little bit of information. So what happens is it goes and it downloads the, it's going to get its little database. Hello, you're supposed to have data in here. What are you doing? Okay. So you can see over here, there's some data you can select on the right, but if you look over here, and I'll go ahead and I'll bring this up a little bit. So if you look at this form, see how the Forum has restaurants? You know, there's no spaces there, and, you know, maybe it doesn't have the right fields that we want. So watch what you can do with Xamo Power Toys. I'm going to come over here, and I'll go ahead and make this. I think it's with Control-Shift-Enter. No, Control-Alt-Enter, right? And Control-Alt-Enter gives me, I'm having trouble with this view. Shift-Alt-Enter. Yeah, idiot, Carl. Okay, so right here is a data form. This is that little data form that was there. And you could see, okay, this isn't a lot of hard XAML to type, but you could see that there's some stuff there, right? So what you can do, I'm going to go ahead and just comment this out. And I'm going to go make a new one. Because we don't want this one anymore. So what did I do here? Okay. All right, come down here, and I'll just comment all this code out here. And I'm going to go make a brand new data form. And, of course, I don't have my toolbar that I need. There we go. Tools. Yeah. Come on, Carl. Full screen. Let's add this. How come you can't customize? Where's the customize? You're supposed to be able to customize, right? Even if... Oh, you have to be able to customize in full screen. There we go. I just didn't hit the right thing. Okay, it's called text editor. There we go. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to right-click inside my project. And if you look here, we're inside the XAML editor. You notice that there is a new menu, XAML Power Toys. It's got all kinds of features. Now, the features that are gray, those are the ones that are grayed out. Those features are enabled once you have XAML selected in your editor, all right? So in other words, for XAML Power Toys, this doesn't work with any object model. So you don't see a designer here. It does not work with any designer. It actually just works with XAML. Because up until, you know, not too long ago, did we have all the right tools that we need. And if you're a Visual Studio person, you don't have lots of features that Blend has. You can't group into things. You can't... There's just a lot of things that you wish you could do, and you have to do it manually. I'll show you some of the things that you can do with this. All right. So what we want to do is we want to create a form, a list view, or a data grid from a selected class. So I can click here. And what it's going to do is, remember I told you that you have the data necessary to create a form already in your database. So if I come over here, I'm going to browse through. And on the inside the website, this is where Rhea Services keeps its data. That's the, remember what Brad had showed you on the server side, whenever you compile, it recompiles for you up on the client side. It's in a hidden file. It's in one of those G files that the Rhea Services makes for you. Well, this right here is their data. So I'm going to click on restaurant, and you can see these fields here. Now, this form, and by the way, everything I'm showing you is on my blog. It's on the web. I have like 10 videos for using XAML Power Toys. So if it seems like I'm going fast, because obviously we only have X number of minutes to talk about stuff, but all the stuff that I'm showing you is on my video, is on my blog, and by Sunday, everything, all the new features, will all have videos for them too, all right? So this designer is a way that you can go and create either forms, you can create a data grid. In other words, it'll lay it out for you, lay out the columns the way you want, so you don't have to futz with it after you get done. And then also, you can create a data form. So this is one of the new features, XAML Power Toys 5. So let's come over here, restaurant name. Now, what happens is, whenever I drag a field over to this surface, what it allows you to do is to go ahead and add some properties, and you can edit properties. Well, you could probably tell that as soon as you get lots of these inside this inside this drop area, it's going to get pretty tall. So when I'm designing mine, what I do is I just click this button here, and it contracts them down so you can figure them out, right? So let's say I want address, and I want description. Oh, shoot, I forgot city. So I'll take city, and see how you can just drag and drop? You get this little adorner, and you can drag it over there. If you don't like address, you can move it back over here. So what it allows you to do is to lay out your form the way you want. By the way, if you want two columns, you can up here at the top, you just type a two. And what it does is it adds you another area over here. You could actually make another, you can make a two-column form or four-column form or 16-column form. Doesn't matter. All right, so XAML Power Toys knows how to do all that. All right, so for right now, for this simple one, we're going to keep it simple. So we got restaurant name, address, city, description, and I'll go ahead and do the date modified. So come down here, show expanded view. Now, here's what it allows you to do. It allows you to pick the control that you want to render, all right? So if you got text box, that's fine, especially for you have the restaurant name. It shows you the kind of binding it's going to put on there. Max length. So if you're doing a WPF or you're doing Silverlight, you should always have the max length set on the control. That way, that's another way to provide security for your applications, right? Remember, security is always in layers. The more layers, the more checks you have, the more secure your application is going to be. So why not take advantage of what's here, right? So there's, well, we'll say 30. Now, this particular form, I know because I played with it for, you know, 15 minutes before I did this demo, is a kind of an auto-sized form, all right? So, but if your form wasn't auto-sized, you could actually set it in explicit width. Another thing you can do is you probably saw those tooltips where Brad had went back to the buddy file. That's what they call it in the RIA documentation. It's called the buddy file. That's that side-by-side file that has the attributes and the metadata for each of the RIA classes that are there. Well, if you don't have a description, you could just add it in here, right? Please enter name. So this allows you to go ahead and set that. You can also adjust where that viewer is. See, that little help thing can either be on the right side, it can be right next to the label, or it can be next to the content. You can also adjust where the label is. So you can put the labels on the top or the left, and you can define them individually. Normally, you could set all of them at the very top, which would be on the data form, or you could set, say, all on the left on the data form, and then you've got two inside that are the exceptions to the rule. They can be set on top, for instance. So there's all kinds of things you can do. All right, you can also select format. So if you had a number, you can come down here, or a date, you can come down here in this little thing and you can pick a date or a format. Or if you want to, you can also click in this little box and you can enter it by hand. Or you can select it and re-enter, it doesn't matter. All right, so address, I don't know, max is probably 64, that's all labels. That's legally how long it's allowed to be. Come down to description, I don't know, probably 1,000 because this is a multi-line text box. And the date, so what I'm gonna do, see, it's down here with a checkbox. So I can come down here and I can pick the date picker. So instead of having a text box, I can go in and pick the date picker here and come over here and say select date. So just to show you that you can do all this stuff. All right, if we want to put a header on our form, we can call this restaurant. Right, and now there's these little settings over here. You see these guys? This data form, why doesn't it let me go bigger? This is kind of strange. This form is normally like resizable, so why it's not, I don't know. This is kind of strange. I wonder if it has something to do with this resolution. There's three of these little boxes here. So there's an edit template, a new item template, and a read-only template. So the data form has three modes that it can be in. What you saw most of today was just an edit. You had an edit template that was either in edit mode or not, right? Well, you can also have different templates so that an edit template, you're going to be entering or editing and these set of fields. In a new item template, maybe you got some other fields that are required but can't be changed after the record has been inserted, right? Or you can also have a read-only mode. So there's three templates that you can put in, and XAML Power Toys will generate all these for you. So let's go ahead and click Create. And now what it does, it says position your cursor inside your XAML. So it tells you what to do, and then you just paste it in. All right, so now your form's been generated for you, right? Now there's this controls date picker. This particular application, what I did, they already had a controls right here. They had it set here. They had an import set to this old primitives right here. So what I did, it's controls toolkit. So I'll just copy that down and go down to this error. So what that was just a collision, a namespace collision. And I'll just correct it by just changing it right there. All right. Now, the other thing I want to do, so right now I can ready to F5, but I want to just go ahead and grab all the little settings that the previous developer had on their data form so I don't have to sit there and type them all in. And come over here, and I can just paste these in here. All right. Now, the other thing that XAML Power Toys does is it any of these imports that it uses, I actually insert them here for you so that if you didn't have them at the top of your form, you can just copy them right up to the top. You're done. You don't have to do anything. So I can just press F5 now and bring up my data. There's my form. Okay, so you can see I have nice tags now. See how even date modified has a space between it because it goes and parses it for you. And it did everything you had before. Here's your little name stuff. And now, you look at this, there is no work. I mean, all you have to do is select the class, press button, do a little design. If you don't like it, delete it, start over, right? This is easy. So this, what I just showed you, works for RIA services. It works for Silverlight, making regular forms. It works for WPF. It works with all the different data sources that are out there. So you can use POCOs if you just have a POCO, if you got view models, which I'm about to show you, or you can use the data models that come off the RIA services platform. So when we talk about, you know, this is a radical environment that Microsoft is delivering, this platform. So between all the tools you've seen today, you have an extremely productive environment to generate awesome code and to make great applications. All right, so let's go back here. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and close this app up. So that was what this was somebody else's code. So this is just like me going working in a job, and boss says, "Hey, you got to switch the form, make it do this." Okay, no problem. You guys now have power tools. You can do this in seconds. There's no messing around at all, right? Okay, so I'm going to open up VS again, and this time I'm going to open up this little Firestarter application that I wrote up. Excuse me. All right, so here, basically what I have, it's really, really simple. I got a customer class, it's a POCO, that doesn't do anything. I didn't implement iNotify property change, it's just a shape, all right? I also have a view model that doesn't have anything in it yet, we're about to do that. Anybody here doing MVVM besides me? And there's a couple people. All right, so the rest of you, that's okay. There's lots of resources out there. Looking into view models is probably a really good thing. You'll be really happy that you did. Maybe we should do some classes on that to help people understand why. But so we'll talk about the view model in just a minute, but also have this class called the database class. And what I do whenever I'm writing applications or doing presentations, I always create a class. It's a static class. I usually expose, there's a property that exposes a single entity, and I have a plural property that exposes a collection of entities. So here I'm going to be working with customers. But you can see this is really simple, easy data, but this will work with any data model that you have in .NET, out of the box. All right. So let's hop out of full screen for a second. We don't need to look at any of this stuff. So let's go ahead and just spin this up. Now this here is the Silverlight app. Of course, we have to do something. Too many arguments in sub new. What did I? Oh, okay. That's because I'm got ahead of myself here. So I have three different data contexts for my main page. So here's my main page here, and you can see it doesn't do anything. Right? All it is a little empty screen. All right, so now our job, this is starting to annoy me. So our job is to go ahead and generate a form for a single customer. All right, so I'm going to come over here, get into my XAML. I'm just going to right-click, say XAML PowerToys, and I'm going to make a form. Now, this time what I'm going to do, and you can see how XAML PowerToys goes out and reflects all of the assemblies that the file you clicked on, it knows what project it's in, and it goes and finds all the assemblies that this project can see based on references, and it goes and shows you all the types in there. So you could have types in a side-by-side assembly, like in this case I do. I have my data model, very common in a LOB app scenario, and I'm going to click on customer. Customer's my shape, right? So if you're going to make a form, it's going to be based on a shape. The data may be coming out of database, but database just has two properties, right? It's got customer and customers. So what we want is we want the end shape, and we're going to use that to make our form. So here's my customer form. Click next. And again, see, we're coming back over here, and we've got this really simple form. So last time I created a RIA services form. This time I'm just going to create a regular form like we would do in WPF or Silverlight that has, let's say, two columns. I'm going to make a two-column form. The title of my form is going to be customer, and I'm going to go ahead and wrap my form in a border and include some little buttons down here. Yeah, that sounds good. So this button row I put in has an OK cancel button, just showing you somebody asked for it, that's why I put it in there. So what I was going to do is I'll put my first name over here, and then I'll add my last name, and I think I'll do is I'll put all of the address stuff over here. So we get address, city, you know, state over here, and we got zip. Let me collapse this down here. And take zip, just move over here, and I'll put this one over here. Now we'll go ahead and set the control types, which is here is date picker. Now what I like to do, see, this is me and Carl always, go over here, and I like to make, you know, set everything up nice. So everything, so you know, I set my widths according to how I always do everything, probably just like you. And by the way, these things, you can move them around, so you can, when you get, if you don't have a big screen in front of you, you can just go ahead and do this. So there's my max length of 64, because that's the maximum length of a U.S. address line if you want to be able to send it in the U.S. mail. 200, in case you didn't know that. Oops. And city, max is 30 for the addresses. State, we'll go with the 2, and width, I don't know, that's always 50. And zip is what, 10, right? 1075. Okay. So we're ready to go, and I think the only thing, and I already changed this one over here. So if I had Booleans or other things like that, I could come over here and I could select different pieces, right? I can select different controls, combo boxes and images. I mean, you can pick anything you want, any control that matches. So I'll just click Create, and then I'll just go ahead and set this in, press F5. I mean, I didn't even look at it. Okay, that's how I wrote XAML, that's how I wrote Barbecue Shack. Go, drag, drop, press F5. That's the way it ought to be, right? Because you already have the information. You've got a class. You spent time and energy setting up a class. Why shouldn't it be able to make the data? All right? Look how easy that was, right? So you've got all the same controls you're used to. And now, what kind of form did it create? Like, what kind of XAML are we looking at here, Carl? Is this like, you know, bad XAML? Nah, this is fun XAML. So basically, I go and I set up a grid. It's got your row definitions, your columns, and you've got everything that you need, all just sitting here. And anybody got a question about that? That was pretty simple stuff, right? So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go ahead and delete this, show you another feature of XAML PowerToys that allows you to work with applications that are in sort of a maintenance mode, right? Who here has worked with XAML with the grid control? Like I just showed you. We got a whole bunch of people. You right there, the guy with the, like me, radical. When you have to insert a control in the middle of a form that has lots of rows and columns, is that a pain?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. See? Oh, yeah? He said it. All right. I'm going to show you how easy it is to do. Okay? But you have to have the right tool, right? It's like everything else. You have the right tool. You know, there's a... I don't know if there's people here who read books on anti-patterns. If you need a good read, I mean, if you want to have tears coming out of your eyes, you've got to read a book on anti-patterns. This is the funniest stuff. But they have an anti-pattern called the Golden Hammer. And the Golden Hammer is basically you teach a programmer something, and he takes this same principle and applies it to everything. So it's like you're taking a hammer, bang, 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 and he turns everything into a factory. Oh, it's got to be a factory. Clang, clang. It's insane. So this is... I gotta keep it real. So what we're gonna do now is I'm gonna take a form and I'm gonna make it poor. First name, address. Notice I'm forgetting something, right? All right. So we do that. Create our form. Come over here. F5. Press button. We come up here. We light up our form and we go, oh no, Bauer. There's Jack, but no Bauer. Okay, forgot the last name. Now, in a real application, here's what you'd have to do. You'd have to go in here, and you'd have to increment you'd have to find all the text boxes, all the labels, and go increment their positions, because you're about to insert something. So the easy way in XAML PowerToys is you can select the control. So notice I just collapsed the control. Right-click, XAML PowerToys, and down here, where it says Edit Grid Columns and Rows. So I click on that. So it brings up this cute little editor. And what I want to do is I need a row below the middle one. So I'm going to right-click on this one, say Row, Insert Below. Gives you a nice little blue thing. Says, hey, that's where I'm going to put the new one. And I'm going to click Create. So it puts your XAML in. If you just do Control-K, Control-D, it reorders it for you. All right, so now what we have here is you'll notice I got 0, 1, oh, 2's missing. Oh, yeah, that's because 2 is what we're going to insert. Now, I could actually do the copy, cut, and paste thing, but I want to show you one more feature in XAML PowerToys, which is to come over here, right-click, and say fields list for selected class. Who here has worked with Microsoft Access? Okay, you guys remember the fields list? The fields list is pretty righteous, right? You had the little list, you could do this. Well, I added that to XAML PowerToys. So you come over here and you grab customer, and it brings up this nice little list here. And so what we do is you come over here with the last name. See, I'm going to move it over here. And because I've clicked include grid, if I take last name and I just drag and drop it down here, and I'll just close my fields list, I don't need it. So what it did, it just put in 2 controls for me. And I'll do control K, control D. Go back over here. Oops, scoop down. And what all I have to do is last name and put this in row number 2. See, this is all, I kind of like this drag and drop, press F5 stuff, right? Now, obviously, I could have reordered it, made it pretty, but I didn't. So I must have done something wrong. So what did I do wrong? Oh, I forgot to set the row. That was my bad. Carl's being a dodo right here. I got to put in a column. Okay, sorry about that. It's always good to be humbled. So we got first name, last, oh, and I didn't put it in the right spot, right? So I must have messed something up. That was my bad. I should have put it below row one instead of row two. So I just made a mistake. But the idea was you could see how easy that was to insert a row or a column into a whole set of XAML, right? And if you've got a deeply nested form, to be able to insert one, this is really cool. This is a great feature, all right? All right, so let's go take a look at some other stuff you can do. All right, let's say that I wanted to put a border around my grid, right? Because this kind of, if you have five of this, it looks kind of boring, doesn't it? Okay, it'd be nice to have like a little border or stuff around it. So what you can do in XAML PowerToys is the same thing that we did in Expression Blend. I'm going to take my grid, I'm going to select it, I'm going to say right-click, XAML PowerToys, group into, and now I got all these group into. I can group it into a uniform grid or a scroll viewer or another grid, a dock panel, but I can also group it into a border, and then you could say, you know what kind of child that you want. Now, a border is a decorator, and in a decorator, the other one we have is a view box, and what a decorator does, it only takes one child. All right, so a decorator like border wraps a single child. That's why it's asking you if you want a child root. But we don't need a child root because we had a grid. All right, so watch what else we could do here. So we just wrapped that. That was kind of cool. We got ourselves in a little border. All right, now watch this. So let's say that I want to do background. I like this bisque one because this is going to look okay. So I got background, border brush. I'm going to go with the red. Border thickness, let's go with 1.4 for the cool look. And let's see, border thickness, the next one is corner radius. Let's go with 10. I think margin's the next one. And I like, 11. And then we got padding, right? That's 7, press F5. And then, so you can see something that comes up. Oh, I forgot one. Actually, I forgot two. That's okay. So I got horizontal alignment left, and I got vertical alignment. I want to put that on the top, press F5. All right, so now we've got this cool little form on the top, and what I want to do is I want to have that look and feel for all my borders and all my applications or my screens. So what you can do is you can come over here, just like we were doing before. You come over to the border control. You can select it, right-click, XAML Power Toys, and see where it says Extract Properties to Style. So you click that. We're liking this, right? So you can come, oh yeah, see, I knew we were going to get some stuff. Well, we got some more oxygen stuff coming. All right, so you come over here. I know you're sitting stunned because you're trying to figure out who is this maniac. I mean, who is this guy? This guy's a freak. All right, you come over here, and we'll call it my border. Actually, I'm getting tired of that my stuff everywhere. Call it border style. STY. Now, in Silverlight, we don't have typed styles yet. Okay, that's in a future release for Silverlight. So in WPF, we do. That's where you don't have to name your styles, but in Silverlight, you have to do that. All right, so you have border style, and we'll just click extract. All right, so what it did is it went, we'll do the control K, control D thing, and what it did is it went extracted all those properties, come up over here, and it went and made that for you. So you have. This is, for those of you that have never had to do this, you have no idea how frustrating this is. So this makes it so easy whenever you want to make a style. Just go ahead and get on the control, set it up the way you want, use extract to resource, and there. Yeah, otherwise you have to type all that because there are no tools to do that. Okay, so let's go back here. We'll just leave that there for a second. Now let's go ahead and eat this. Going to go eat. So this is what I like about creating XAML with XAML PowerToys. You can just keep trying things until you get it. You don't have to sit there and do a lot of typing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come over here to my main page, and I'm going to change my data context over to a collection. So you can see here I'm using the customers instead of customer, right? Okay, so what I'm going to do is let's spin up a grid here. So we're going to right-click, all right, XAML PowerToys, and come over here. And here we go. We're just going to come up and pick our customer. Go to the next. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to come over here and see where it says Silverlight Data Grid. I'm going to click on that. So now what I want to see is I want to see first name. I want to see last name and maybe their address. That's all we need. All right. So for the data grid, this is probably all we need. I'm going to set the max length again because you can edit stuff, right? So you always want to set this. It's really important. All right, and our address, 64200. Okay. So now we pretty much got that under control. Click Create. And now we can just paste this in. And the only thing I have to do to my grid is I got to tell it where its data is coming from, right? So I'm going to do something really creative like item source equals binding. For those of you that aren't that familiar yet, you will be soon. By setting this to binding, what that says is whatever the data context is, take that data context and just put it in as my item source. So in this case, we have those three records. So I can just F5 and come up and take a look at it. And you can see that it lays everything out. See how your columns are named correctly? See how the nice split with the name, and it just goes and extracts all that information. Of course, it's completely editable. You can sit there and you can type there whatever you want. So XAML Power Toys is really empowering you once you know what you want to do, right? Once you've figured it out, because now you don't have to spend so much time typing your XAML. It'll go and type all this stuff for you, right? All right, now, let's go ahead and let's make a view model. So I'll go ahead and eat this grid here, because we don't need this anymore. So what I want to show you is a view model. For those of you that don't know about MVVM yet, just accept the fact that it's there. It's awesome. It's something you want to learn. You can read some stuff on my blog. There's lots of people have written about MVVM. There's masters. Some of the guys on Brad's team are just absolute masters. Nikhil's blog, he's a master on MVVM. Fantastic. All right. So what I want to do is I want to take this customer class, and a view model basically is a type that can expose a data model, one or more models on a single type, and then it's also a place where commands can be placed and all other kind of logic that allows you to take a view model and data bind the view, or your XAML, data bind the view to the view model so all the commands are going straight in there. This way you don't have to use any event handlers in your code behind classes. You can almost have zero code in your code behind, although that's not a requirement. Don't say that Carl said that, because I didn't. But you can end up having almost no code, which is a good thing, in your code behind, so that everything's in these view model classes. You say, well, you know, why do we want to do that? So that you can unit test everything that you own. That's the real reason. Also, it makes it really nice because you can have one view model, can have all different kind of views, right? So you can have three or four views that all use the same view model. The possibilities are endless. But now we need to make a view model. So one of the requests that somebody came to me with was, I want to be able to re-implement the properties from my model on my view model. In other words, if you have customer with six properties, I'm going to be able to take those six properties and re-expose them in a view-friendly fashion on my model, or on my view model. And there's lots of reasons you'd want to do that. So let's go ahead up here, and I'm going to right-click. Now, notice I'm in the code editor. This works for C# or VB. I'm a VB guy and a C# guy. I love VB, and I'm probably one of the last. There's only a few of us left that will never die. I'm not giving it up. No way. And so I'm standing up for all those people out there who want to use VB. I'm not giving it up. All right, so come over here, grab customer, and now what it does is it brings up this nice little UI. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to implement customer. We're going to make customer the whole type private, but then we're going to re-implement all the properties. And this is a huge request from people. So if you look down here, see, it allows you to name it. You don't have to use Carl's naming scheme. If you change this, it'll recognize it. I'm one of those Hungarian guys and never giving it up. You can come over here, and so let's say that you wanted to make this property an observable collection or a list or whatever. In this case, I just want a customer. So I'm going to make the actual class private. See how when I click this, it goes from public to private? And I don't need any of these other features, but I want to do this. Say this says include the change notification. Here's another request. People wanted me to implement iNotify property change for them, so I don't have to type all that code all the time. Easier if you have a base class, though, right? But in case you didn't have a base class, I implemented that in. You can also add commands to this. You can come over here, and you can actually come over here, and you can pick different commands, and you can add them into your system. All right, so we're not going to fool with that now because we're trying to show you what this is. All right. So over here, we said we want to re-implement all the properties, right? Well, you could come over here. This is this control that I wrote. It's a checklist box. So you can click on one, and you can click on the last one, hold the shift key, and the wall select. If you hold the control key, they do that, right? So anyways, that's on my blog. And then I use Hungarian notation, but I didn't want to force everybody to, so I made it not the default, all right? Otherwise, everybody's going to be yelling at me. All right, I don't want any more complaints. So I'll just click Create, and then I'll just paste this in. So now what I have is I have a whole class here that just implemented, right? So there's my private customer, and here, there's my address. See all this? I've implemented change notification. So if you see how cool this is, that means you could take a POCO from where? Oh, anywhere. Let's say you have POCOs coming from Amazon. You have POCOs that are coming from some entity framework, right? EF, you know, they're kind of empty there, right? There's nothing going on. Maybe you got stuff coming from some other web service, or you got stuff coming from a mainframe. So you've got some model POCO that doesn't do anything. But now what we need to do, because of the rich data mining that comes in Silverlight and the rich data mining that's in WPF, we need change notification on our properties so that the UI can cleanly and seamlessly interact with the data model. This is a requirement if you want to be able to do that, right? So one way to do it is to just, instead of fighting the system, just take this naked POCO and drop it into a view model. And now it's got all kinds of functionality. So for instance, if you wanted to, you could take these and you could add all those attributes that Brad was telling you about earlier with your with the data annotations. And you would have your validation. You could have this features that work with this form control. What I do in my other application, which we don't have near enough time to talk about, in Ocean, is I have a whole validation framework I wrote, and it all plumbs in. All my stuff would plumb in there. So that's another reason that I could use that, all right? So what I want to be able to do is show you how to get the, come down here to the constructor, and you could see here that it added a constructor for you so that it would take this type. So I come over here, I go back to my main page, and this is that little error that we had because I was doing the little thing before. Okay, so now, one of the things you always have to remember with XAML Power Tools is you always have to build before you use it. Because, you know, it doesn't go and compile in the background for you. I don't do that. Maybe I probably should, but I don't know how. Anyways, so I'm going to right-click XAML Power Tools, come over here, blah, 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 select the same old thing we've been doing since day one. And I'm going to select the customer view model. And presto, I'm actually working off that view model now. So for all you guys and ladies that are view model kind of people, look how easy this was. Actually, you know what I'll do? I'll create another one of those Silverlight guys. So look how simple this is. You have a POCO class. And by the way, if you haven't looked at the T4 templates yet, that should be your next thing you do. Look at the ones for Visual Studio 2010, not the ones that we used to have, the older ones. The way they're doing it now is so much better. It's insane how good T4, they're called pre-processed text templating. If you go have a look at that, it's the best thing I've ever seen. It may be the coolest thing coming out of Microsoft. It's a little simple feature that allows you to generate code with such simplicity. It's unbelievable. Anyways, so I'll click Create, and we come down here. And we just press F5, and let's see, we should come up there, and we got a little form, hello, didn't do anything, probably because I have to set its data context, right? So I have to tell it, I think it's current item, isn't that what it is? Current, I mean, when you're doing one of these things, let's see, binding, yeah, I think it's that, I think that's what it is, I just don't remember. Yep, so in a couple of minutes, I was able to take a model, go create a view model, and go create a form. So if you think about Silverlight development and you think about WPF development, most of our development is not done in Windows, hardly ever. In fact, a window usually is just like a shell, or your main Silverlight form is just a shell for user controls that you're bringing in. You know, you have sections of your code, sections of your form, where you take a user control, you've developed that, and you bring that into view. So that user control is an atomic piece of work that has your fields, has the whatever information it needs to light itself up. So when you think about it, when you go to create LOB applications, line of business applications, where you have these kind of forms, you can go create these small user controls in minutes with this kind of a tool here, And now you just now you're going to be spending your time learning styling, not typing in business forms. And if you don't like what you did, just delete it. Do it again. It doesn't matter. Look how fast it is. You can view, have to re-architect your application. Throw your UI away. You don't need it. UI is supposed to be throwaway. Well, now it is because you can generate it. All right, does anybody have, because we've got to stay on time, does anybody have any questions specific to what I just spewed out at Mach 4? It's like a fire hose. I love fire hose cursors. And by the way, I'm the data reader guy. I'm the last person that's going to give up using data readers. So when they're talking about technologies, I use data readers. Yes, sir. Okay, T4 pre-process text templates. Best thing, this is the coolest thing. In fact, when beta 2 ships, there'll be stuff on my blog that day. I'll have it rewritten. I'll have it all written. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Yes, sir. Okay, so nothing's wrong with anything that you're using. So I would never say there's something wrong. What I'm saying is the current implementation of T4 is it's a two-step process, right? So you have you write your templates and you author them, and it goes and it makes them. But when you go to process them, it does the compile. Then you have to check for your errors, and then it goes and it runs the it takes that code it compiled, puts it in the engine, and gives you your code. In Visual Studio 2010, and this is in beta 1, by the way. You don't have to wait for beta 2. When you type your template, it actually compiles it on the spot. You could take that DLL, put it anywhere you want. It's part of the .NET framework. You instantiate that template and call its render method, and it spits out your code.
And it better work with source control.
It's insane. This is so simple. I love it. This is the best thing I've ever seen. Yeah, just awesome. Anybody else got a quick question? Yes, sir.
The extract to style thing that you showed.
Yes.
Is there some reason why I would do that instead of just going to blend and doing the right click and extract to style there?
Do they have that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. They have extract to style for all the properties? And it'll do that. Okay, so see, I didn't know that. Who's here is a Blend expert? Any Blend people? Adam, can you answer the question?
I don't know if it's one click as easy as yours, because you're pulling all the properties.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we're close. I should do a test.
Yes, so mine allows you to pick the ones you want, too.
Carl, can you repeat the question?
Okay, sorry. So to repeat the question, was, why do we need what you wrote when Blend has that feature? Well, first of all, I wrote mine a long time ago, and mine works for developers working in Visual Studio. See, this doesn't work in Blend. There's no add-in and model in Blend. So I don't, and to be honest with you, when I'm developing, I don't use Blend that much until I'm ready to do fit and finish. The very last thing you should ever do is the fit and finish part, right? You don't need to. You just make sure you know how to name your stuff correctly. Yeah. Okay, right, because you can pick the ones you want to export, right. So there's different models for developing applications. So to tell you what the way I developed the Barbecue Shack application is I went up to Cooler. Somebody correct me, Cooler, right? So I went to Cooler, and I found my palette. So you go to Cooler, they give you five colors. I picked the palette I wanted, and I went in and I set my styles up. So I set my five colors up. Plus, I think I had like a gray. I added an extra gray and maybe a black or something. And so I already had all my colors. And I went and I mocked up one so that anytime I was building my form, I just went and added whatever it needed. And so I didn't even need to use it. I only use Blend to make the nice little thing, the little barbecue thing. The rest of it, I developed it, I just did it. It was that easy. So, yeah. Anyway, not to light any fires about workflow between designers and developers, because in the Microsoft .NET platform, it's a seamless integration. Guys should be able to work together all the time with the Microsoft platform, either Silverlight or WPF. It's designed to do that. And if you use ViewModel, it's really easy. Anybody else got another question? And let's get the other panel guys to come on up. Yes, sir.
How much of this is going into
Cider? Well, this is a really good thing. So let me tell you what my palm told me. So, like, our POM, Brad's a POM. A POM is, the guy for the product. And here's what he told me. He said, Carl, the best way to get things done around Microsoft is to go write it and show it to them. That's what I did. So
you showed it.
Trust me, it's like everything else. You know, you can ship an application that can go to any language in the earth, all the things that we do, and but at some point you have to stop adding features and stay to bring stability to the app, and then you know, then you go for the next cycle. So I actually joined Microsoft last year. So I've been here since September of last year. So when I joined, we were already way past the feature development cycle when I got here. So that when I went and wrote it right when I got here. I went on a cruise the day I got here and went and wrote most of this. Yeah, I'm telling you, coding on a cruise is a whole experience. If you've never experienced it, you live in Alaska. You got Alaska cruise, you can go out there and it's mind-boggling. So anyways, we're working on it. But to say we're going to commit to a feature now is, you know, unrealistic, right? But the fact is you can go download it and it works, right? And I'm adding a whole bunch of stuff to Visual Studio's design surface myself. So a lot of the stuff that you see in XAML will actually work on the design surface for Studio 10. That's what I'll be doing in October on my weekends. Adding all kinds of features to our stuff. But then again, I don't have the overhead. That, you know, Microsoft pays a huge overhead when we develop products, right? So they have to be, you know, there's huge meetings, and you have to get sign-offs and buy-offs from lots of people. There's, you know, people like things to be tested. They have to work. They have to be internationalized. There's huge amounts of money that we spend as a company to deliver a quality product to our customers. So we can't just jack in features, you know, left and right. Otherwise, we'd have, you know, chaos. Somebody else over here had a question? I'm sorry I didn't give you the exact answer you're looking for.
In the meantime, panel guys, keep coming over. We'll have the chair set up. And Carl, you can keep taking questions. Thanks.
I was just curious because I haven't seen a lot of this, but I know how they have that. The guy was talking about all these 150 different controls. That
yes.
At the various levels that they're going from the toolkit down. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay, so here's an outstanding question. What I need you to do is to look at the screen. What his question is that, well, what if I didn't want to use, who here has used DevExpress? Anybody? Okay, we got a couple people. So what if, Carl, when XAML PowerToy spits a text box, what if I want the text box that comes with DevExpress? I want that to come on the screen. I don't want the text box. I want the one I bought and paid for, the one, you know, my company said we're going to use that interface. So you can right-click XAML PowerToys, go to Tools. And by the way, if you want to see my dog, there's Little Richie. Little Richie's on TV. Woohoo! So, and also there's a link here to my blog. Okay. So you can go right-click XAML PowerToys, Tools, Set Control Defaults. Now check this out. By the way, all this stuff is on my videos on my blog. But let's have a quick look down here. Label. If you look here very close, notice that it says control type, and it has data input colon label. Huh. So if I go click on image, well, I got image there. Well, that's the one that doesn't need the namespace. So if you click on label, notice it has data input label. Down here, let's look at date picker. That comes from the controls namespace. Data grid comes from the data namespace. So what XAML PowerToys allows you to do is allows you by platform, Silverlight and WPF, to go in here and tell it what you want when your code gets generated. So that it, let's say that you didn't want to use, you don't want to use the default text box. You want to use the one you bought. Or maybe you want to use the one that you derived. You made your own because you needed six properties to support the thing you want to do. And, you know, everybody tried to talk you how to derive in your own, but you did it anyway. And so now you've got it and you want to use it. Well, you could come in here and just set it up. This is a complete no-brainer. The other thing you can do, notice here whenever I do a border, see all those properties down here at the bottom? Well, you can actually come down here and add properties in the values, and it'll spit it out when it creates it. It does it for you. It does a whole bunch of other stuff, like here's a text box. This automatically spits all the validation properties, like over here, text box, for here's WPF. See, it has all these properties, and if you want them automatically spit, it'll do it for you. So you can watch the blog, watch the video on my blog. I speak a little bit slower there, so you can learn the material. Anybody got a last question for Zanwell Power Toys, and then we're going to move on to the whole group. All right, thank you very much.